I'd like to start off this morning by reading the record of Mark about the Christ's resurrection in Mark 16. And let me read this out of the King James. Mark chapter 16 out of King James. And it goes like this. "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." Now, I know this is very familiar, but I want you to listen. "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?' And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. And he saith unto them, 'Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him as he said unto you.' And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, and they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not." They believed not. They believed not. Verse 12, "After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, 'Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.' So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Amen. Now you can read the Gospels and read the different accounts of that event, but I believe this the one that Mark shares here shares a little bit of different angle on that day. And how amazing it is to me. I mean, Jesus even told them, he was making it plain to them what was going to happen. And after it happened, they were still in unbelief. So why is it important for us to gather every time this time of year and remember the resurrection? Because it happened. It was real. You know, in another place, I think it's in Matthew's account, it talks about how the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were so upset by this, they gave money to the soldiers to lie about this day that it happened. They paid the soldiers to say that his disciples had come and taken the body. And you know that still goes on today. That is perpetuated. Is that a good word? Perpetuated today. I always look to my English scholar over here. And she keeps me straight. No, that's not the right word there. No, use this one. But that lie is still perpetuated today. among the Jewish nation and beyond, because you think about it, you know, that's how, you know, gossip happens. Gossip told over time and over time and over time becomes reality to some people. But that's why we gather on this day, Resurrection Sunday, to celebrate the risen Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, and what it means to us as born again believers. Amen? Resurrection, it means the state of one risen from the dead. More specifically, the rising of Christ from the dead. More generally, the rising again to life of all the human dead before the final judgment. You see, we're all going to be resurrected. If you're a born-again believer, you're going to be resurrected. Jesus was the first fruits. In fact, turn over to 1 Corinthians and let's read about that. He was the first to be resurrected from the dead. The first fruits of many, us being participants in his resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let me read this out of the Amplified, starting in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 reads like this. But now if Christ the Messiah is preached as raised from the dead, how is it that some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, it amounts to nothing, and your faith is devoid of truth and is fruitless, without effect, empty, imaginary, and unfounded. We are even discovered to be misrepresenting God, for we testified of him that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, in case it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is mere delusion. It's futile. It's fruitless. And you are still in your sins under the control and penalty of sin. And further, those who have died in spiritual fellowship and union with Christ have perished or lost. If we who are abiding in Christ have hope only in this life, and that is all, then we are of all people most miserable and to be pitied. But the fact is, but the truth is, but the fact is that Christ, the Messiah, has been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in death. For since it was through a man that death came into the world, it is also through a man that the resurrection of the dead has come. For just as because of their union of nature in Adam all people die, so also by virtue of their union of nature shall all in Christ be made alive. Shall all in Christ be made alive. But each in his own rank and turn, Christ the Messiah is the first fruits. Then those who are Christ's say, I'm Christ's. His own will be resurrected at his coming. Oh my goodness. This is why we gather and celebrate the resurrection. Is to celebrate and understand and know that he died. His blood was shed on the cross. He was buried in the tomb. And on the third day, he rose to new life as a first fruits. We are celebrating our new birth as well as the risen Lord on this day. We are celebrating the day when you said, yes, I will receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. We are celebrating you. Because you were dead in your sins. And when you accepted Christ, you were risen to new life. His resurrection is an undeniable truth revealed by the Spirit. For 40 years, the disciples testified to the truth of Christ being risen from the dead. And they were killed and tortured and martyred for it. But they did not recant their story. Can you imagine? You hear it all the time. You've probably seen movies, especially around the Vietnam War, how prisoners of war were tortured, and they torture them to get them to say something against their country or reveal something or tell them secrets. And some do cave to the pressure. But for 40 years, his disciples were tortured, killed, martyred. And not once did they recant their story. They died no ordinary deaths either. All but one. And we know who that was. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, which, by the way, we are going to go in depth about on Wednesday night, starting this Wednesday. If you've ever had any questions about the book of Revelation, come out on Wednesday night. We're going to go through it verse by verse. All but one were martyred and killed for their belief in Jesus. Only James's death is the only recorded death of what actually happened. In Acts 12:2 said, by the sword of Herod, they killed James. And get this. So Herod, they imprisoned James, and he kills James, and he sees how it pleases the Jewish nation. They were ecstatic that one of these followers of the way got their due. So Herod, seeing that how it pleased them, he wanted to do it again. So he called Peter. He called for Peter. And Peter was imprisoned. His fate was going to be the same, I believe, as James's. But turn over. I don't think I wrote it down. Yeah, I just said Acts 12. Turn there real quick. Acts 12. I want you to see this. I want you to see how important prayer is, and in, with Operation School Guard in mind as well. Acts chapter 12, and it's verse 2 is where that starts, and says, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it was pleasing to the Jews, he proceeded further and arrested Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread, the Passover week. And when he had seized Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers, of four each, to guard him, purposing after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but get this, but fervent prayer for him was persistently made to God by the church. Fervent prayer was made for Peter after he was imprisoned by the church. And look what happened. The very night before Herod was about to bring him forth, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, fastened with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, standing beside him, and a light shone in a place where he was. And the angel gently smote Peter on the side and awakened him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, tighten your belt and bind on your sandals. And he did so, and he said to him, wrap your outer garment around you and follow me. And Peter went out along following him, and he was not conscious that what was apparently being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing. And we go on, and he went to the door and Rhoda answered the door, didn't think it was him, thought it was an angel, his angel. But here's the point is, fervent prayer was being made by the church. I believe that fervent, and I firmly believe that fervent prayer changed the destiny of Peter that day. I believe he would have fallen to the same sword that James did had prayer not been, had they not been in intercession for him. That's how important our prayers are. That's how important your prayers are. When the Holy Spirit wakes you up in the middle of the night and just puts something on your mind or in your heart, start praying about it. You may not know what you're praying for, but pray. If you're part of Operation School Guard, don't grow weary. Continue to pray, because it said consistent prayer delivered Peter. Amen? So James's death being the only one recorded, the others are passed down by church tradition, what happened to the other apostles. They say some were beheaded, crucified, one crucified upside down. thrust through with spears, boiled in oil, tossed off a pinnacle and then beaten to death, stoned, and yet not one of them. Amidst all of this torture, all of this pain, not one of them recanted their story or their belief that Christ was risen from the dead. Not one. Not one. Even Josephus, some of you have heard about Josephus. He's a credible historian of the Jewish antiquities that even the world accepts as a credible witness to what happened in those times. Even Josephus talked about the Christ rising on the third day. So why is the resurrection so important? Why? Why is it so important? Well, without a risen Christ, there'd be no church. There would be no church. When they killed him, when they laid him in the grave, even the apostles themselves went back to their former occupations. They didn't go out and start preaching. They didn't go out and stirring up the crowds. No, they went right back to fishing, doing whatever they were doing. Without his resurrection on the third day, they would have just continued, I believe, in what they were doing, and there would be no church today. Without a risen Christ, there's no New Testament. The Gospels would not have been written, and certainly Paul would not have been compelled to write nearly two-thirds of the New Testament. Can you imagine? We'd still be living under the old covenant. And as non-Jewish people, we'd be cast out. We wouldn't be accepted. But because of his death and resurrection, now there is a place for us Gentiles, for us. Amen? And this is what Paul wrote to the Philippian church in Philippians 3. Chapter 3, verse 10 says, "For my determined purpose is this, and this should be ours." I'm telling you, when you read Philippians 3, 10, 11, you should make it personal. This should be your determined purpose. My determined purpose is this, that I may know him, who? Jesus. That I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death. In the hope that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Verse 11, we have died in Christ and been resurrected to new life, a new creature, born again to life, spiritually and morally. Did y'all hear that? Spiritually and morally. Because verse 11 says, if possible. Paul said, if possible. It's not automatic. When you get born again, your life, your spiritual life changes immediately. Immediately you are rescued from the pit of hell and brought in to the kingdom of light. But morally, it's not automatic. He said it. It's progressive. It's continual and progressive. That's why the word talks about, you know, renewing your mind daily. Daily you have to renew your mind. Daily you have to remember Jesus and what he did on the cross and why he did it. Daily. So without a risen Christ, you would still be dead in your sins, sentenced to an eternity of hell without hope. with no good news without the gospel. But we have hope in Christ. Amen. He is our hope. And that hope lives on the inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. You see, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Wherever you go, you take the Holy Spirit with you. Now that's something to consider. Whatever you see through your eye gates, whatever you hear through your ear gates, it's impacting your heart. That very same power that rose Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. That's hard to grasp with the natural mind. The power that rose the Christ from the dead, that power, that resurrecting power, that power to change and impact lives, that power to change and impact your life, lives on the inside of you. Without a risen Christ, we would not have the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17 read like this out of the Amplified. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that is Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, and Standby. Look, this is what is living on the inside of you. Those things are inside of you. Counselor, you need counseling? Talk to the Holy Spirit. You need a helper? Talk to the Holy Spirit. You need someone to intercede on your behalf? Talk to the Holy Spirit. You need someone to be your advocate? Let Him handle it. You need to be strengthened? You need someone to stand by you? Give it over to the Holy Spirit. That He may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Welcome. Take to its heart. Because it does not see Him or know and recognize Him. But you know and recognize Him, for He lives with you constantly and will be in you. That is the benefit of the resurrection of Jesus. Living on the inside of you. If Jesus the Christ was not resurrected, there'd be no hope for us. No hope. You'd be lost in your sins because of Adam's sin. But because the second Adam, Jesus, took the sins of the world upon Himself, all the sins, listen, all of your sins, past, present, and any sin you could commit in the future, Jesus, and we don't understand that in the natural mind, but God is not bound by time. Every sin, He would placed it upon Himself. And because He did that, we can live in freedom. We can live the abundant life because of what Jesus did, because He rose from the grave on the third day. To the Christian, His resurrection is the hope that sustains us in times of trouble. In fact, Proverbs talks about that, right? The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain and times of trouble. If you're going through something, and we all do, right? When you're going through it, what is sustaining you? What keeps you going through that? Do you just say, oh gosh, it's got to end sometime. This can't last forever. Or do you take on the hope of the Christ? Do you rely on the Holy Spirit? Spirit that dwells inside of you to sustain you in those times of trouble. I'm telling you, there are people that cannot sustain through times. I mean, that's why we have suicide and all kinds of stuff going on, depression and mental disease, and because the strong spirit, they don't have that strong spirit residing on the inside of them to sustain them through that. And that's what the resurrected Christ gives us. The Holy Spirit to sustain us in these times of trouble, in these times of pain, when our body is in pain, when our heart aches. The risen Christ, who sent the Holy Spirit, sustains us in those times. The strong spirit of man sustains, but a weak and broken one, who can bear? Who can bear? To the unbeliever, this is the hope of salvation. The risen Christ is the hope of salvation to the unbeliever. It's not something that you can reason. You can't reason it out. You have to accept it by faith. And that's what the world doesn't understand, you see. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what I'm talking about may be foreign to you, but there's something inside of you that it resonates with. There's something inside of you that is just going off like a light bulb, like a shockwave. The world can't understand it. The world without Christ doesn't understand, doesn't accept the resurrection, doesn't know anything about it, doesn't understand faith. They just plod through life, accepting whatever comes their way, and trying to make the best of it as they know how. But how much more successful they would be if they knew Christ and the power of His resurrection. And that is why we, I believe, are still in this earth. Just as Paul said, he knew it would be better to be with Jesus, but he had things to do in the earth, and he said, it would be better for you that I stay. It's better for the world that we stay, trust me. Because once we are taken out of here, once the church is gone out of this place, it is going to be hell. I mean, you hear that phrase all the time, but we don't really understand it. We don't really fathom hell on earth. And thank God we won't be here to see it. Because we will be taken out of this place, and hell will come on earth. It will be a time of trial for Jacob, for the Jewish nation. But you and I, as born again believers, will not have to see that day. That is what the resurrection provides. Amen? Turn to Romans 8. And I'm cheating. I got mine all written down here, so I don't have to turn. So I'll give you just a second. Romans 8, verse 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal... What bodies? Your spiritual bodies? Your mortal, natural bodies, your short-lived, perishable bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit... The power of the Holy Spirit, that same power that lives inside of you, that same power that raised Christ from the dead, that lives inside of you. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death, that is making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. That is what the resurrection is about. That is why we come together and meet on this day, a day that has been set aside to celebrate the risen Christ, the power of His resurrection, and understanding that power and what it means to us as a church, which means church universally, church body, what it means to us individually, that power that lives on the inside of us. You know, Romans 8:28, it talks about how all things work together for our good. But the verse down below that talks about it's only for those that are in Christ. It's only for those that are in Christ. And let's just read that. I just want to read that. Let's Romans chapter 8. How many are still in Romans? I got a couple hands up, yes. Romans, I'm telling you, that if I had to pick a favorite book of the Bible, if I had to, and I don't want to, but if I had to, Romans, I think, would be it. Along with Hebrews. Now, they're in my book, they are side by side. It reveals so much to us, the church, about who we are and what we're to do in the earth. And so I hope, and I hope you've taken that to heart. I hope that you've spent time in Romans. And you, I'm telling you, you could spend a lifetime in Romans. And I don't know what that means when it leaves the rest of the word, but you could spend a lifetime in there and you could glean from it daily. So I pray that you continue to stay in Romans and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. You know, these things, if a non-believer picks up the Bible and reads, it's like, I mean, they might as well be reading French or Greek, or it doesn't mean anything to them. There's no power in it. Why? Because their unborn spirit can't understand those things. But when we as born again believers pick up the Word of God and start reading it, man, revelation comes and enters your heart. And when that revelation takes up abode and is planted in the fertile ground of your heart, it grows, something happens, and we are changed by it. If you're a born-again believer and you read the Word of God and you're not in some way changed by it, it doesn't mean you're not born again, but you've hardened your heart to it or something. Because you can't help but be changed when you read the Word. You can't help it. Amen? That is what the resurrection means to us as born-again believers. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Says, we are sure to know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. Believers only, to those who love God and are called. For those whom He foreknew, of whom He was aware. I'm going to read this out of the King James. I'm going to switch on you there. Sorry. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn, the firstfruits among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again? Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, and you should be too, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the resurrection. That is what the resurrection means to you and me. Never being separated ever again from the love of God. That's why Christ cried out in the garden. He said, oh, if this cup can be taken from me, take it. Because he couldn't bear to be separated from his Father. But he did it for you and me. He did it for you and me. And because and out of his obedience, he was resurrected on the third day and now is seated at the right hand of the Father, never, never to have to suffer death again. This is why we celebrate this resurrection day. To remember the great price that was paid so you and I could have freedom. Freedom from fear. Freedom from pain. Freedom from death itself. And I'm talking about the second death. The Bible says it's appointed for every man to die once. But we do not all have to participate in that second death. We do not all, if you're born again, will not be thrown into that lake of fire with Satan and all his cohorts to be forever tormented. Jesus says that I am the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. So I'm here today to convince you to have a heart change, to encourage you to have a change of heart. If you're born again, that simply means to go deeper with God. Go deeper. Go deeper in your relationship with him that Jesus died and was resurrected to give to you. Go deeper. Dive in to his word. Don't let me or anyone else tell you what it says. Find it out for yourself. Read it for yourself. See, that's how the church has gotten into the mess that it is today, some. Because they have relied on other people to tell them what the Word says. And men, being of flesh, with their minds unrenewed, have through the centuries sometimes perverted what the Word has said, misconstrued what the Word has said, some out of ignorance, some out of their own gain. That's why it is important that you read it for yourself. Don't trust me. I mean, I'm fairly trustworthy. But read it for yourself. Go deeper for yourself. And it's then when you do that, when you dig down deep within yourself, that's when the Holy Spirit will begin to work some things, stir some things on the inside of you. And that's when you will become a powerful witness for Christ. When you take it up for yourself and not rely on someone else's words. You can't, listen, you can have the most passionate evangelist ever lived. And you can ride around with them all day long and follow them around and do everything. But you can't operate on their passion, on their revelation. You've got to have it for yourself.
Yes, amen.
Right? So if you're a born-again believer, I'm here to convince you to go deeper. To die to self and live to God. That's what Jesus did. He died to self. He took on the sins of the world upon His body. And I've shared before how it's my contention, you know, it talks about He was disfigured to the point that people couldn't even recognize Him. And some of that was from the beating that He withstood or received. And the whipping. But I believe, and I don't think I can prove this in the Word, but it's my contention that the sins of the world that were put on Him disfigured Him grossly. To where He was unrecognizable. That's what He did for us. He died for you and me. And we should die to self and live to God. And if you're not born again, I'm here to convince you to have a heart change today. To stop living for yourself and start living for God. Stop living for yourself and start living for God. I'm telling you, it's the only source of true happiness. You can chase it down with all these other things that you think are going to give you happiness. But there's only one thing that I believe will give you true happiness, and that is a relationship with God. And it's through Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the only door. The only way to the one true God. I want to give you opportunity this morning. I believe everybody in here is born again, but I don't want to rely on my natural mind, my natural knowledge. And I shared last week, I believe this is a season as we remember and recognize the resurrection that people's hearts are softened supernaturally. So I want to say to you today, and just everyone bow their head, close your eyes. Just don't be looking around. Don't be fidgeting with your books. Focus on God. And I just say this. If you do not have a personal relationship with the God that I've been talking about, with His Son, Jesus, the Christ, the one that went to the cross, spilt His blood, was buried and laid in a tomb, and on the third day rose again. If you don't know this person I'm speaking about, I want to introduce you to Him. And I don't want to take for granted that everyone here has that personal relationship. It's a personal relationship. It means you can go right in to the throne room of grace, right up to God the Father. Yourself. You don't have to go through an intermediate, a mediator. So I would just say today, if you do not have that relationship, today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day that you make a heart change. Today is the day that you come into right relationship with God through Christ, our resurrected Savior. He is your Savior. He will save you from hell. He will pull you out from the depth of hell that you are destined for if you do not know Him. And translate you into that kingdom of light. That is the power of the resurrection. That is why we recognize this day. Because of His resurrection, it has the power to change your life forever. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. But I'll just say, if that's you, and if it is, you know. If that is you, today is the day you can make a change. And let me tell you, if you decide and make that change, your life will change. You will not, you cannot go back to the same life that you were living. Your life will change. Your heart will change. I may be even speaking to some believers in here that have run away from the call or harden their heart to certain things about their relationship with God or things that they may be doing that they know they're not, shouldn't be. Today is the day for heart change. And I believe as we understand that, as we get revelation of it. And if you're not born again, you'll get revelation. Revelation will come when you submit and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Revelation will come. And you'll say, aha, that is what they've been talking about. That's what it means. But I believe also today, if you're born again, that your heart will start to soften to some things that maybe you've hardened it to in the past. And you'll see change in your life. You'll see change. Because it's needed. This earth, this world needs us. Needs us. Needs you. You have been called. You've been gifted. You have a purpose. And the world needs you. And it's time to step up. It's time to step up, church. It's time to step up if you're not born again and believe and receive.